Genesis chapter 6, if you would, please. I won't be long, but I see something here that I think is going to be very helpful. It was helpful to me. I trust it'll be helpful to you as well. It has to do with idols. It's amazing what people can trust in or seek to trust in rather than the Lord. And I may paint this picture a little bit more broad than I ought, but my point is, if you're going to something other than the Lord, you have an idol. If you have something you're trusting in, something you're hoping in, if you look at something and you think, that's going to be the answer to my problem, or, you know, that's going to make me happy, or that's going to meet my need. And if you, when you take your eyes off God and put them on something else, that's an idol. An idol is something that you trust in. And I hate to admit it, but I know a lot of Christians have idols. Now, it may not be that you just trust in the idol, but you're going to see something that I think really jumps out here in this passage, and that is that God does not want to share his glory with an idol. God should get all the glory, amen? You have to be very careful, because in our life, we might say, you know, if I had thus and so, I would be happy. If I had this, or if I did that, or if such and such took place, I would be happy. And the devil uses that mechanism. He used that with Eve. He said, you know, if you'd eat that fruit, you'd be more content. There'd be something good that you're missing right now. Things would be better if you would disobey God. And she listened to him, and that got her in big trouble. So the kind of things that people can trust in today, all sorts of things, their abilities, their career, their possessions, money is also obviously a big idol. The things that they serve, the things they spend their time on rather than God. If you want to know if someone has an idol, just see how they spend their time. If they spend their time and they're dedicated to something other than the Lord, or if they if they're willing to sacrifice the Lord's house and the Lord's service so that they can have that instead, those things become idols. And it can happen to Christians. I know it can. So there was an idol here in the land, in Israel, in Judges chapter 6. And this idol was, an altar to this god, this false god named Baal. And then they had built a grove. And that tells you a couple of things, that they had been doing this for a while. Groves don't grow overnight. And so God, when he gets Gideon's attention, in verse 11, or verse 12, let's go ahead and go to verse 25. I'll just save some time. It says in verse 25, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, that's interesting, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Let's have a word of prayer if we could, please. Father, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity to come here and pray. And God, again, without repeating all the prayers of your people, we lift up Dan Ball, we lift up Brian Jensen, we lift up Jenny, we lift up Crystal, we lift up Mo and others that were named tonight. We lift up John Barber. We lift up families in our church, individuals in our church. And God, in each of these cases, we just depend upon you to do something. And Lord, you promised us in the Bible, you said you are a very present help in time of need. And Lord, it's not our discernment that we trust, but yours. But in our limited ability to see, it's very clear to us that there are needs here. And God, we're trusting you to make yourself a very present help. And we cast our cares upon you, knowing the promise that you care for us. And we ask, knowing the promise that you said we would receive. And Lord, tonight, you said if two of us agree upon a thing, you would do it. And Lord, we've claimed these promises. We've trusted you. And so we lift these folks up once again. I ask you to bless these next few moments in the Bible. I pray that everyone here would get something from it, from the youngest to the oldest. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God came to Gideon. He has chosen Gideon to deliver his people from the Midianites. And the first thing God tells Gideon to do is to tear down the altar. Why? Why is that so important? Undoubtedly, the one reason to tear the altar down is because it's wicked, it's a false god, let's get rid of that. But think about this. If the altar had been allowed to stay, then after the battle is won, a bunch of people would say, boy, it did a good thing we were praying to Baal. Right? In other words, we've got our own thing we're trusting in. And isn't it a good thing that we were doing that, because that's why we got the victory? And some people would have given the glory to the false god while others gave the glory to God. So God says, no, we're not going to do that. Before we go to battle, what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of the false gods. Amen? So now, when the battle is won, anybody that thought Baal was necessary has been proved wrong, haven't they? And anybody that trusted God, not only do they get to win the battle, but the idolatry was the reason they were in trouble in the first place. That's the reason the Midianites had come and overtaken them. And folks, God does things decently and in order, don't you agree? So in our life, we ought to pray, and we ought to be willing to pray, Lord, if there are any altars, any idols, anything that I am trusting in other than you, tear them down. And if you know what they are, you tear them down. You say, but my father, you know, he trusted in that. Well, that's what Gideon's problem was. His father was the one that had the altar. And God said, that's okay, you tear it down. Amen? Amen? And so there wasn't going to be any sharing of the glory. The reason the altar had to go, amongst other things, was the fact that before they could defeat the Midianites, there had to be a clear understanding that the problem, as Greg said, is gone, and that the sharing of the glory is not going to take place. God's going to get the glory. Folks, it would be okay, and who am I to say, but it would be okay if God brought us to a difficult situation so that we could know he's the one that delivered. We tend to pray, Lord, keep us out of the difficult situation. And again, my heart is so heavy tonight, I could find it easy to pray that way. But, Lord, get us through the situation, amen? And if we come through it, we know God did it. And whatever God did, we know that was what was right. And I don't need to make excuses for God. The glory belongs to him exclusively, not to man's idols, not to man's effort. Now, think about Gideon. I've mentioned this last week. Gideon's a man that likes to see what's going on. He likes to know what's going to happen. He wants proof. We're about to see next week the fleece. He puts the fleece out. And we still to this day use that that terminology. We'll say, well, let's put a fleece out. Let's see if that's God's will or not. Well, folks, let me tell you something. This is God's will right here. So not much fleece needed. And God will open and close doors. Not worried about that. But Gideon liked to see it. He wanted solid, rock solid. That's what's going to happen. So he didn't ask for proof when he tore down the altar. He knew that thing had to go. But later on, when it comes time to fight, he wants proof. And so when it came time to win the fight, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Gideon in a situation to where there's no way he can win. He's going to win anyway. Who's going to get the glory then? God. Amen? And that's the way it worked. And we'll see as he reduces Gideon's army. It's not man who delivers. It's God who delivers. And it's not God who delivers with something. It's not God plus something. It's just God. Amen? Amen? That's who we trust. And in our life, be careful. You say, well, I trust God, but... No, just trust God. I trust God, and then I get the backup plan. No, just trust God. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but sometimes what we do is we stop trusting God and start solving the problem ourselves. Inevitably, we begin to disobey God as a part of that process. Knock it off and just trust God, obey God. And God has promised he would take care of things. So the battle couldn't be fought until the idol was gone. Second thing, not too long here, but you look at verse 28, if you will. Judges chapter 6 and verse 28, it says, the men of the city arose early in the morning, and behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. You know, Gideon did just what God told him to do. Now, if I can make this application simple, I will. In order to cut down the altar, in order to get rid of the idol, we have to be obedient. could God have sent a hurricane or a tornado, not a hurricane, a tornado, and just taken that thing out? He could have. God could have taken the altar a long time ago, but he chose to use men to do it. Now, watch it. I don't want to take this too far, but there are people around us that have altars they've built up. Make sure you don't worship at those altars. And if you have the opportunity, you might tear those things down if you can. Let me be a little bit more plain. If you know somebody is trusting in something else, kindly remind them that's wrong. Trust God. Amen? We trust God. And then you're going to come to some folks, for example, they're going to believe in a false religion. Did you notice that God didn't say it's okay to coexist with the altar? Did you notice God didn't tell Gideon, go negotiate with them and see what they're willing to do? Did you notice that God didn't tell Gideon, you know what, you need to get along with those people that have the pagan altar, because after all, they're family, and family is really important. Listen, folks, family is important. God's more important, amen? And God's not going to ask you to do something that's against his word. He cares about your family, but the altar's got to go. The idol's got to go. So there was no compromise. It required obedience. That can, we say, yep, I can do that. I trust you can, but any man that thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. Poor paraphrase there. My point being that when it comes down to it, I need God's strength, and you do too. To be obedient, we need God's strength, don't we? Now, that doesn't mean we just are helpless, limp wash rags and we wait for God to pick us up and move us along. What it does mean is God is able to provide a way of escape when the temptation comes, and we need to trust God to carry us through. We may be called on to tear down an altar. We are called on to destroy the false trust of those that have believed a false gospel or a false religion. I don't just badmouth people because I enjoy doing that. I don't like doing that. I'm not a conflict seeker. I'm not a brawler. But when it comes time to tell somebody their religion's going to send them to hell, I'm not afraid to say it. Amen? And you shouldn't be either. You say, well, Pastor, the Catholics are good people. I don't know about all that. I just know the Pope's a liar who is going to die and go to hell and take millions of people with him if they don't get right and find Christ as their Savior. Because there's no salvation in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is a fraud and a fake with false doctrine. We do not cooperate with them. We tell people what the Bible says. The Bible's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I was talking to Brother Hickson before the service, and we'll see this when we get there, but when Gideon fought the battle, he fought the battle with lamps. We fight the battle with the Word of God, amen? And we don't apologize for the Word of God. I don't have to apologize. Well, I'm sorry you think there's a priest, but you might want to read the Bible. No, the Bible says those sacrifices can't pay for sins. Well, I'm on a rabbit trail. I haven't got time for that. We are going to have to be obedient if the idols are going to come down. The idol's not to be respected. The idol's not to be, we're not to coexist with it. Someone says, you know, we need to be nice to those Muslim people because after all, they're good people. You know what? They deny that Christ is God. The last time I heard somebody doing that, I think it was the devil. And when you do that, you're in his camp and not God's camp. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil, one of the two. And so I don't need to say, well, let's let all the religions coexist. Every time I see that bumper sticker, I want to rear end somebody. We don't coexist. We tell folks the truth. I don't lull somebody into a false sense of security while they're on the way to hell. We tell folks what the Word of God says. If they'll listen, if God will enable us, amen? So obedience was required. I've only got one more thing, and I know I'm jumping over some stuff, but we're out of time. Look at verse 31. Let me read a little more here so you get the whole story because we didn't do that yet. So let's just go back to verse 28 again, and I'm going to read through verse 32. It says, when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. That's obedience in verse 28. Verse 29, and they said one to another, who hath done this thing? Folks, we serve God. We don't do so anonymously. Amen? We are who we are. He didn't have to hide. He wasn't going to do any good. When they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Just keep reading. And then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal. Folks aren't going to like it when you cast down their altar. Amen? That's okay. It needs to be cast down. God said cast it down. That's what we're going to do. And because he hath cut down the grove that was by it, he needs to die because he serves God. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. There's just a couple of things I want to show you in those last two verses. First of all, they'd have liked to have killed Gideon, but Gideon's life is not in their hands, it's in God's hands. You say, Pastor, if I do certain things, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Well, do them anyway if God said to. Amen? Amen? I'm not saying to be foolish, but when God says do it, you do it. Short story. I was in that rehab center on Monday, and Jenny says to me, would you stand up and pray for all these people out loud? There were probably 20 people in the room. Probably 15 of them were drug rehab people and that were addicted. And I said, yeah, I can do that, but probably just once. Because after I do that, they're probably going to kick me out of here. And she kind of didn't know what I was talking about. And sitting right next to her was a worker. And I asked the worker, I said, hey, would it be okay if I pray for these people out loud? Oh, I don't know, she said, talk to her. And she pointed me to somebody else. And I said to this lady, I said, would it be okay if I stood up and pray for these people out loud? And she said, absolutely not. I said, why not? Well, they have constitutional rights. I said, so do I. And by the way, I have a freedom of speech, but I didn't tell her that. And she said, well, you can't pray. And I said, you know, the devil really is powerful, isn't he? And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, he can keep me from praying in here. That's not what it's about, she said. She said, the law says, and I said, you want to know what the law says? And she turned around and walked off. She didn't want to know what the law said. And I stood up and prayed, and I prayed loud enough that folks could hear me, but I didn't make an obnoxious object of myself. And she escorted me out. They didn't kick me out, but it was time to go. You know what? We just got to do what's right. Amen? If you ever worry about standing or praying in a restaurant, you shouldn't be the one that's ashamed. The other folks that don't pray ought to be ashamed. You shouldn't be ashamed that someone identifies you with Christ and looks down on you. They should be ashamed for looking down on you. They should do the same thing. When it comes time to do something and stand up for the Lord, folks, just stand up for him. Your life's in his hands, not theirs. Amen? And here's an interesting thing. They changed his name. They changed it from Gideon to Jerubbabel. In other words, if you think about it, he got his name. Now watch this. This is good. He got his name from the stand he took. They called them Christians first in Antioch. They got their name from the stand they take. It's so sad today. A lot of people call themselves Christians and they have no right to claim that name because they've taken no stand. But we call ourselves Christians, don't we? We should take a stand. We got to get our name from the stand that we take, not from hiding. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know what? God is in control. Gideon's going to live a nice long life. Fact is, I like what his dad said. You know what? If Baal is so great, let him do the work. Folks, Baal is an imagination. Baal is a creation of the devil. Baal has no power at all. And nobody has any power unless God lets them have that power. And God can put a stop to it real quick. And if you just see what happened there, Gideon's stand changed his dad's mind. Amen? Maybe our stand would change somebody's mind. You haven't got to be obnoxious about it. Folks, people are dying and going to hell. On Wednesday nights, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but why do we come and pray? Well, we have nothing else to do on Wednesday night, Pastor. It's just habit. We do it all the time. No, people are suffering. We need to be here and pray. And I don't understand. You know why we have a church? We don't have a church because this is a how can I say it? We don't have a church because we just got this idea. Yeah, let's have a church. You know, we kind of like getting together and so on. I like getting together with you folks. That's not why we have a church. If the Lord Jesus Christ did not maintain this church, we'd be gone like that. Amen? Do you think the devil wants this church here? Do you think the devil wants these? The devil wants these kids in the neighborhood down there at that meth addiction rehab center. That's where he wants them. That's his plan for their life. I don't want them there. Amen? And I want a lot of them to get saved and tell some other people. Amen? That's why we have a church. And can you see what the devil does? He tries to get us fighting amongst ourselves. He attacks our families. He attacks from the outside when he can. I'm sure glad our safety is in God's hands. Amen? We have a church because of the Lord. We have a church so we can get the gospel out. I'm not going to tell it again, but you know my favorite illustration is that starfish illustration. If you haven't heard it, I'll tell you later, but it made a difference for that one. Amen? Amen. Folks, please be faithful. We have a church because we are a unit in a battle. We are a unit in a battle, and it is getting fierce. And I just trust that the Lord is going to give us some victory this week. And when we pray, he said he would. Amen? Let's all